Time to talk some Major League Baseball. We do it several times a week here on the program, and we're now kind of at the quarter pole of the 2016 season. So we thought we'd bring in Salt Lake native and Sports Illustrated Major League Baseball insider Jay Jaffe back to the program. How you been, Jay?
Hey, I'm pretty good.
We're at the quarter pole here of the season. What's the biggest surprise for you?
Boy, what's the biggest surprise? There's a few of them. I think the White Sox leading the American League Central would probably classify as one of the biggest surprises to me. The Orioles atop the AL Central is a surprise. In the National League, I think the Phillies being well above 500 is probably rates as the big surprise, although their underlying metrics suggest that they're maybe not quite that strong. But those are the three things that stand out to me the most.
I don't think anybody's surprised the Cubs are in first place. Are you surprised that, and I know they've come back a little bit, but are you surprised they've been lapping the field the way they have?
A little bit, especially because they play in such a tough division, you know, with the Cardinals and the Pirates also making the playoffs in each of the last few years. That's been a very strong division, and for them to be 7.5 games up is a bit of a surprise. But, you know, I picked them to win the World Series for the first time in 108 years. That's their first time in 108 years, not my first 108 years. But, I already thought this was going to be a great team, and so far they've done nothing but live up to that.
I've talked about this with other MLB guys that have come on the show. Are the Cubs really the only thing that can stand in the Cubs' way? When I say the Cubs, injuries, but within the organization themselves. I mean, if this team stays healthy, is there anybody that matches them on paper?
Well, you know, I mean, over the course of a 162-game season, I don't think so. However, you know, when you get into a short season, you shorten up those rotations in a playoff series. I mean, I think the Mets, as they showed last year, match up pretty well with them, and they've probably got a stronger roster this year than last year. You know, when you put Syndergaard and Harvey and DeGrom out there, you know, I think there's a case to be made. They're stronger than Arrieta and Lester and Lackey. Harvey hasn't thrown the ball as well as he might have so far this year, and that's been a bit of a concern here in New York. But in a short series, those matchups are, you know, with the particular pitchers are key, and that's really, to me, especially in a best of five series where there's less margin for error, is where, you know, these championship dreams can go to die.
Houston got off to an abysmal start. I mean, they were terrible. They seem to have righted it just a little bit, finishing up a series with the White Sox today. They're getting back to respectability. It's only the quarter pole of the season. Do the Astros have, at least as constituted now, what it takes to get back in that race?
I think so. And this is a team that I picked to win the AL pennant, so I'm maybe a little bit more skeptical about them than I was before, but this is still, I think, a pretty talented team, and I don't think we've seen the complete extent to what they can do. But they really need to get Dallas Keuchel right. I don't know exactly what's going wrong with the guy who won the AL Cy Young Award last year, but he's got a .543 earned run average. He's walking a lot of guys, giving up a lot more homers than he did last year. He's got to straighten out. The rotation as a whole just hasn't been very good, they just got Lance McCullers back, had a strong rookie season for them last year. He got pounded in his first start. They need all those guys to start giving them better starts so that they can stay in these games and win some of them.
Talking on the Bill Riley Show here in Salt Lake City with Jay Jaffe, who's a Salt Lake native, covers Major League Baseball for SI and SportsIllustrated.com. I got to ask you your thoughts on what we saw transpire between the Blue Jays and the Rangers the other day. Odor got his 8-game suspension. Joey Bats got his 1-game suspension. It had really nothing to do with baseball this year. It had everything to do, I think, with what happened and transpired a year ago. Did you think the way MLB sorted everything out was pretty fair and just, or do you think it could have gone another way?
Well, you know, I, for the most part, I think it was fine. I expected Odor to get somewhere between 5 and 8 games. I'm not surprised that he got the upper bound of that. I thought, given that there were, you know, some mitigating circumstances with Bautista's hard slide there, this wouldn't be an extreme penalty, even though he got a really good punch in there. I'm a little surprised that Matt Bush didn't get suspended, because the report found that he essentially did throw at Bautista intentionally. And I'm a little surprised that maybe that Kevin Pillar and Josh Donaldson didn't at least get a game for their wild activity within that brawl. That both of those guys were fairly aggressive in there. But I guess, you know, when you've got Batista suspended for a game, you've kind of got that representing, you know, the Blue Jays having to carry some of the weight here in terms of the non-intentional hit pitch activity, which is what got Jesse Chavez suspended.
Yeah, the most interesting part to me was people that were calling that some sort of a sucker punch from Odor. To me, it was about the farthest thing from a sucker punch. He actually shoved him first. He didn't come in. To me, a sucker punch is when you catch somebody from the side or you jump them from behind. I think Odor was pretty straightforward with what he wanted to do with Joey Bautista, wasn't he?
Yeah, I would agree. And also, you know, Bautista had his right hand cocked there. You know, he didn't have a closed fist, so, you know, it's not clear that he was going to throw a punch, but he was ready for action there, and he had to know, especially, you know, given Odor's reputation as a guy who will scrap, you know, and did so a lot in the minor leagues. He had to know that he was definitely you know, poking the bear there and risked a confrontation. And you know, Odor also, you know, low-bridged him on that throw. When Bautista came in hard, you saw Odor kind of sidearm that ball, you know, with a matter of inches there. He could have plunked one right off of Bautista's helmet or even hit him in the face. You know, I think the big take-home message here is that at just about every turn, players could have really gotten hurt in this thing, and we're lucky that nobody on either side was substantially injured, except for maybe Batista's pride.
I ask this next question with full disclosure. It brings me great joy to say this, but why are the Yankees so bad? They're 17-22. I grew up as a Royals fan all my life. I was at the 77 and 78 playoffs, and so my hate for the Yankees goes way back. So I was there when Craig Nettles and George Brett were squaring off when I was 7, 8, 9 years old, way back in the day. So it you know, I ask this knowing that there's a bit of glee when I say it, but the Yankees are bad, and I'm just curious why they haven't been really relevant in the East in a couple of years.
Well, this year it's been a matter of the starting pitching just being awful. They've got Luis Severino, who was their best starting pitcher in the last third of the season last year as a rookie, just, you know, got pounded and then left a game the other day with a tricep strain. His earned run average is above 7. Michael Pineda, who really had shown flashes of brilliance over the last two seasons when he was available, has just gotten the tar whaled out of him as well. Nathan Eovaldi has been really inconsistent. CeCe Sabathia got hurt just when it seemed like he was sort of coming around. Masahiro Tanaka has taken a step back. I mean, everybody in that rotation has struggled at one time or another, some of them greatly. And, you know, Mark Teixeira has been bad. Alex Rodriguez has been bad and has missed time with a hamstring injury here. Jacoby Ellsbury has spent some time on the sidelines. They just have not been at full strength, and they haven't been getting good starts. And I think, you know, you put those two things together and you've got last place in the AL East, and I don't know if they're going to get out of there.
As we look around the league, there was a story a week or two ago, and I don't know if it was somebody just hypothesizing, somebody just having a little fun, but it got national traction and to the point where the Angels felt like they had to make a statement about it. But the story was basically, should the Angels deal Mike Trout and help kind of in the rebuilding process? They shot that down immediately. They aren't going to be dealing Mike Trout, or at least anytime soon. But in the big picture, that's how, you know, sometimes you will rebuild. But that's generally what middle to small market teams do, not teams that have had big payrolls like the Angels over the years, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's tougher if you're a big market team to rebuild because there's so much at stake with keeping that ballpark filled and stuff like that, which is why I think we've never seen the Yankees or the Red Sox truly undertake a big rebuild, even though at times it is, you know, it has been something that really looked like it was necessary. You know, as for the Angels, I can understand why people are talking about trading Mike Trout. It is a fascinating intellectual exercise on a certain level, but if owner Artie Moreno isn't inclined to trade him, I don't see where that's going to happen. And, you know, I think the calls for the Angels to consider trading Trout are because they had a terrible offseason. They didn't fill most of their needs. They've got a lot of bad contracts. on the books that are kind of that prevented them from being too active in free agency. They have the worst farm system in the game. A friend of mine, Keith Law, who writes for ESPN, called it the worst he's ever seen in 8 years of evaluating minor league systems. There's just not a lot of directions they can go. And then all of a sudden, they lost two of their starting pitchers, Garrett Richards and Andrew Heaney, to ulnar collateral injuries that look like they could be facing Tommy John surgery if the rehab doesn't go well. And all of a sudden, 2016 looks like a write-off for them, which is why people are calling for this trade. But, it's one season. They've still got Trout under contract for a lot longer than that. So I don't see where hitting the reset button is the right thing to do now. I think there may become a point where that's necessary, but for now, it's just a fascinating intellectual exercise.
You just painted a very bleak picture for all the Angel fans listening, Jay, here in Salt Lake City.
It's not great.
Hey, before I let you go, if you're passing out here at the quarter pole, your overall league MVP and your overall Cy Young, we're not passing out league, just overall, your MLB MVP and your MLB Cy Young award winner in at the quarter pole, who are your winners?
Oh, geez. Until a few days ago, I would have said Bryce Harper. In terms of the MVP award, but he really hasn't figured out that walk thing yet, or the being pitched around yet. And so I may be a little bit more hesitant there. But Manny Machado might get my vote right now. I think he's been very impressive. As for the Cy Young, Clayton Kershaw. I mean, best pitcher on earth right now. I've just been absolutely a joy to watch every time out. 88-4 strikeout to walk ratio.
That is absolutely ludicrous. Read him, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, or probably mostly gentlemen, at SI.com. He's an MLB insider. He's a Salt Lake native, and it's always good to talk some baseball with Jay Jaffe. Thanks, Jay.
All right, thanks, Bill. Take care.
All right, there you go. Jay Jaffe with Sports Illustrated talking some baseball.